Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege, the honor, and an opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Proverbs chapter 11. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 11, beginning with verse number 3. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Our teaching we have been teaching on the last few weeks is entitled Integrity. Integrity. Now, the meaning of integrity is, and we have to come to an agreement because words mean different things to different people. But for my teaching, the meaning that I'm going to use for this teaching is as follows. Integrity is the quality or state of being of sound moral principles, strong biblical foundation, uprightness, honesty, and sincerity. Again, integrity is the quality or state of being of sound moral principles, strong biblical foundations, uprightness, honesty, and sincerity. Integrity is a state of being which determines the overall physical condition of a person as opposed to a mental condition or state of mind. In short, it means to consistently act on what you believe is right. To consistently act on what you believe is right. It is also a guide for the upright, and it guides the upright to the truth. Now, integrity is not in itself the truth, because we all know that Jesus is the truth. But integrity is a guide to acting on the truth. Amen? Integrity will compel you to question and analyze the situation. You will not be acting on your flesh, but you will take your time, you will question, and you will analyze the situation. And eventually, your decision will be based on the things of God. Now, we also established that the best and the most complete list of these character traits that will empower you to do what is right, regardless of the situation, can be found in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. Amen? So, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. All right, you found it? Let's read. It says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop." Now, a bishop is an overseer of a congregation, the one who is in charge. Amen? It says, "If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, have his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, least being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil." Verse 7. "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Now, before we go in to the teaching of this, I want to highlight something that I hadn't done before, and that deals with what we were talking about in terms of the character of a of integrity, the character of integrity. And there were certain things that was brought out in that definition that I want to make sure that we have an understanding about them. And so I want to go over it right quick before we get into the major teaching. And I said the meaning of integrity is the quality or state of being of sound moral principles. Well, let's look at that. Moral principles. What does that mean? Well, that is the principle of right and wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. Now, we're looking at this now from a biblical standpoint because we want to make sure what God is telling us about these particular characters of integrity. So it says that the meaning of integrity is the quality or state of being of sound moral principles. And again, we find that moral means the principle of right and wrong behavior, and the goodness or badness of human character. Now, moral has to do with one's personal character rather than good or bad. Now, what I am going to say to some ones or some people out there, it is going to be a little disturbing. Matter of fact, you might not even like it, but this is an observation. It is not a criticism. And I believe I can make this statement because I live in America. I am an American. I was born here, raised here, went to school here in the good old U.S. of A. So I believe I qualify to say this. And now you might not agree, but let's not fall out about it. It's just not for you at this time. But America has shown little integrity as a nation, and our leaders and some of the people who are supposed to uphold a certain standard are in the toilet. Amen. They just have no integrity whatsoever. They lie, they steal, and they seem to not care about the people of this country. But the good news is we who are called ourselves Christians, and Christians means followers of Christ, we should live our lives as Christ lived his. Amen. So please go with me to 1 John chapter 4. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse number 5. And it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Amen. So all that nonsense, all those lies, all that deception, all that confusion that Satan has allowed these men and women of God to be used by his trickery, we have overcome that. Amen. And it will not bother us, not one iota, because we are children of the God Most High. But we need to be aware of Satan's pitfall and his deception. And that's why we are teaching on integrity. And you know, sadly enough, the church, amen, the church has fallen victim to some of Satan's trickery. They have gone along with some of the things that God calls them abomination. And so we have to be careful and make sure that when we fellowship, we're fellowshipping with the right people. Amen. And then it says, strong biblical foundation. A strong biblical foundation is another trait of integrity. And so having a strong biblical foundation means our understanding of the Word of God should guide us into making the correct decisions in any given situation. Amen. In any given situation. Not just now and then, but all the time in any given situation. Now, please go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 19. And it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Amen. Integrity through the word of Christ keeps you from iniquity. Amen. A strong foundation in the word is what you must have, amen, to deal and to fight against the wiles of the devil. Uprightness means a favorable acceptance, being honorable or honest, amen. Please go with me to the book of Psalm 112. The book of Psalm 112, chapter 3. verse 3. So that's Psalms 112, verse number 3. Now, we're talking about uprightness, which means favorable acceptance. Favorable acceptance. Now, when you have favor, that means you're blessed. Amen. And you're going to get the favor of God in your lives. So Psalm 112, 3, it says, wealth and riches will be in this house, and his righteousness endures or stands forever. This wealth and riches is nothing new. So don't get be all surprised when it says wealth and riches will be in the house. Our Heavenly Father established that from the get-go. Now let's look at this. So let's make sure that what I'm saying is correct. Or you might try to find out where I'm incorrect. So Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It says, wealth and riches will be in the house, and the uprightness endures or stands forever. So our righteousness will endure forever. Genesis 1, beginning with 27 and 28. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, or mankind. Male and female, he created them. So when God, in the beginning, he just wasn't thinking about man. He was thinking about mankind, male and female. Verse 28, and he blessed them. And he blessed them. And he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So we see from the jump, God's whole plan was to bless mankind. And he did bless mankind in the beginning. But because of Adam's disobedience, he fell to the temptation or to the deception or to the trickery of Satan or the disobedience, more so, and sin nature entered into the world. And so the blessings were temporarily halted for a minute, but we got them back through Christ Jesus. Amen? And then it says, honesty means uprightness. And then we also have sincerity, which means freedom from deceit. Amen. So those are some of the qualities of uprightness, of integrity, that I wanted to make sure that we have an understanding. We're all on the same page. So when I mention some of those words, you have a biblical understanding of what I mean when I talk about those words. Now, we're looking at some traits, some character traits that where we left off when we read in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, where it talks about the bishop. And if a man desires the work of a bishop, he desires a good thing. So we have to understand that there are some responsibilities or some character traits that the bishop must have. And we looked at the first two of them. One was being blameless. And we found out that blameless means unblameable, blameless, or faultless, without blame. It says, when you study the life of Christ and see how the religious leaders of his day talked and plotted against him, one has to take a really hard look at themselves in terms of how people talk about you. They treated Jesus worse than humans, but yet there was no one more a man of integrity than Jesus. Amen. So when they talk about you, don't worry about it. You in good company. Then the second trait we were looking at was the husband of one wife. The husband of one wife. Now, one might ask the question, what does having one marriage partner have to do with building integrity? Well, it has everything to do with building integrity. And the main word is commitment. Commitment. Operating in integrity takes commitment. just as a marriage done. And see, a lot of people look at marriage, first of all, in the wrong concept. See, marriage is a holy covenant. It's not a celebration. The celebration takes after you get married. But when you get married, you're standing before the pastor, before God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all the witnesses, and you letting everybody know that this person that you are marrying, she's the one or he's the one, and I'm committed to this person. See, operating integrity takes commitment, just like marriage. If you cannot be committed and faithful to the one who shares your bed and plays a part in giving life to your children, then how are you going to be committed to something as intangible as integrity? Yes, husband of one wife, it is a trait because it is commitment. Now we stopped at trait number three, and trait number three was temperate, being temperate. And we found that temperate means to exercise moderation and self-restraint in appetites and behavior. It means to exercise moderation and restraint in appetites and behavior. To keep in sensible limits. To keep in simple limits or sensible limits. To be sober. To be vigilant, watchful, and observant. You are constantly keeping tabs on things to be sure that you stay on target. They never get out of control because you are always on targets, always watchful. Now let's go to a very familiar passage in Scripture where this event took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. So go with me to the book of Mark chapter 14. Again, that's Mark chapter 14. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 34 and 38. And it says, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, then he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Verse 38, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. And see, that's the issue. The flesh warring against the spirit. Jesus was talking about temperate, whether you know it or not. You see, good intentions alone would not suffice. See, Simon Peter, he had good intentions, but he fell asleep. And that's not good enough. You have to watch and pray. You need to be on guard so that you do not needlessly put yourself in situations where your bodily desires get the best of you. Notice that Jesus did not say that if you watch and pray, you will not be tempted. He didn't say that. You cannot live and not be tempted, because you're going to be tempted by the devil. Believe me, he's going to make sure you are tempted. He's going to test your resolve in the Word of God. It is not a sin to be tempted. Now go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's see, let's go to verse number 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. So Jesus was tempted in all points just like we were, but he was without sin. And if Jesus can do it, we can do it. Amen. Because we made in his likeness. Amen. So it cannot be a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to enter into sin. That is why Jesus gave his disciples and now has given to you unto us this commandment. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. In other words, be temperate. Control yourself. If you are always watching and making the necessary corrections and tweaks in your life, your body will never get so out of control that it messes you up and your life spiritually. Did you get that? Amen. Let me repeat that. If you're always making and watching and making the necessary corrections in your life, your body will never get out of control, and that will cause you to mess up your life spiritually. Amen? Well, you know what? The clock on the wall says I'm just about out of time. So we're going to end for this week. But please let me invite you to join us Sunday for our teleconferencing church services. You can join us by simply dialing our toll-free conference number at 605-303-4834, access code 997-020-pound. Our services start at 2 p.m. sharp. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.